I tell you what, I enjoyed them songs, amen. Give me Jesus. He gave his life to us on Calvary. We ought to be blessed by that, amen. I love to hear the singing about the Lord, amen. It's good to be in God's house. Good to see everybody here today. Pray for our pastor to get him safety traveling back home. Just a good time and bless him. It's good to have everybody out this morning, amen. When I preach every Sunday at Asheville, there's only about maybe 12 or 15, and this kind of scares me, amen. A lot of people out here. But I'm glad I'm part of the church of God, amen. I'm thankful to be here. Be in God's house this morning. We'll take your Bibles this morning. Turn to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. I've been studying this book for a while. Boy, this is an awesome book, amen. I'm thankful that I know what's going to happen at the end times. I'm thankful I know that we'll have the victory as Christians, as believers, in the end times. We ought to be blessed and thankful for that. Let's all stand this morning for the reading of God's Word this morning. Revelation chapter 1. The Bible says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw." Watch verse number 3. "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therefore, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood." I love that verse, amen. Washed us from our sins in his own blood. There's no other way to be saved this morning. No other way to know that you're on your heaven but by the precious shed blood on the cross of Calvary. "And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Verse number 7 says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him." Think about that. "Every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." Even so, John said amen again. Amen. "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." Let's pray. Father, we love you today, and we thank you for being our Savior. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for shedding your precious blood on the cross of Calvary, that we might have everlasting life. We thank you, Lord, on that third and victorious day that you arose from the grave. You conquered death, hell, and the grave, and hold the keys to death and hell right now. We thank you, Lord, for salvation, the gift of eternal life. Lord, I pray this morning that if there is one or more in our midst here this morning in this church, I pray in the name of Jesus that the Holy Spirit of God would speak to their hearts. Father, if they're not sure they're saved and on their way to heaven, if they're not really sure who Jesus is and all that he's done for the entire world by giving his life on Calvary, Lord, I pray that they would come today and ever live and ask for forgiveness of sins and be saved today by the glory of God. I pray for the Christians, Lord, that we would draw close to you. Father, that we would live a life that's pleasing to you, that we would hear your word, obey your word, apply your word. Father, teach your word and spread your word to a lost and dying world. Father, be with us today. Fill us with thy power. Allow us to preach this morning with power, purity, truth, and liberty. Speak to our hearts today. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The book of Revelation. I have been trying to teach on this John is on the island called Patmos, which is in the Aegean Sea, and not far from the churches, amen, 40 to 50 miles out in the sea. It's a big island there, some 10 miles long, 6 miles wide. He was sent there for persecution because the churches in this age were going through much, much persecution. John is now probably in his 90s, one of the last living apostles, disciples that Jesus had, and he's now on the island of Patmos. But the Lord Jesus Christ had took him there for a reason, so he could write the book of Revelation. And I'll speak about that in the first couple of verses, how that went through. It's amazing. Can I tell you that there's times in our lives when we go through tribulations and trials and problems, and we're there for a reason. God knows everything we go through. God knows every problem we face, every trial and every situation, every hurt that we go through. But can I tell you, God knows, and it's sometimes and a lot of times it's for a reason. And sometimes it's for the glory of God Almighty. Amen. If this book, Revelation, had not been written, if we had not had the book of Revelation in the 66 books of the Bible, how would we know what the end would be like? How would we know what the tribulation and all the things would be like? Because Jesus, amen, gave his angel the words in the book to what to tell John and what he wrote down. And it's for us also, the church in 2019. The church in 2020, if we go that long before the rapture of the church. But John's there. The Bible says the revelation of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just about the churches. It's not just about the people. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that the man of God preaches and people teach is about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about Him and Him alone, because He's the one that can give us eternal life. He's the one that suffered and bled and died on Calvary. He's the one that rose again. He's the one that can save our souls from a lost place called hell. The revelation of Jesus Christ means the unveiling of the Lord, unveiling of what's going to kind of take place in the future. He said, which God gave unto him. God had it. He gave it to the Son, Jesus, by the way, his only Son. He said, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. So God gave everything to Jesus. Jesus gave it to the servant, the angel. The angel gave it to who? John, because he was on the island of Patmos and he was going to be ascended up there on the throne room, which we read about in chapter 4, I think it was. He said, which must shortly come to pass. You know, the word shortly there means quickly. It's going to happen that quick. But it's going to come to pass after the rapture of the church. It's not going, the tribulation is not going to start before the rapture of the church, because God's people, the believers, are not going to have to go through the tribulation. Praise God. We won't have to go through the suffering and the problems that the unbelievers will and that the Jews will. We won't have to go through that problem. It can happen almost at any time. John said to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. And then he said, and he said it and signified it by a symbol. There's a lot of symbols in the Word of God, which we spoke about before. There's the seven bowls, there's the seven trumpets, the seven vials, there's the seven churches. There's all kinds of symbols in the Word of God in the book of Revelation. Many, many of them. And by the way, seven stands for completeness, spiritual imperfection, amen. But he said, which must come to pass. You know, many believers and many people that come to the house of God, I know I have heard this preached many times about Jesus is returning. And that it could happen at any time. You know, John wrote this 2,000 years ago. How long is that? Take 2,000 times 365 days. How many days is that? That's been many, many, many thousands of years ago, many days ago. But he said, which must come to pass shortly. The rapture could happen at any moment. It's the next event on God's calendar that He's going to take the church up out of the world, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And Paul said what? Comfort one another with these words. That ought to give a Christian comfort, but not an unbeliever. Not a child that's not a believer, not that someone's not a believer. You know, he said after this, very shortly. 2 Peter says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day, think about it, One day. You realize how fast today is going to go by? I can't believe how fast it's already going by. My goodness, it's already 5 of 12. I hope you are willing to stay till about 12:30. I'll try to preach as quick as I can, but this day is going by fast. He said, but one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Let me tell you what, the Bible says He's returning shortly. John and the people there and the believers thought it could happen at any time. But let me tell you what, Jesus had this written 2,000 years ago, but it's only been in His eyes, in His mind, 2 days. 2 days. Think about it. How many people can come to Christ in 2,000 years? John and his people thought that it was going to come any time. He said very shortly. It could have happened at any time. It could have happened back then. But if it did, guess what? We wouldn't be here. We wouldn't know that we were going to be saved. We wouldn't know that we could be in heaven. We wouldn't know that we could be born again. Because, listen, He's coming shortly, intimate, very fastly. But it could happen at any time. 2 days, like 2,000 years. Jesus said this 2 days ago in His mind. Isn't it wonderful to know that your family, your friends, your loved ones, and you can be in heaven throughout all eternity? 2 days is as 2,000 years, my friends. I believe that's why it's taken forever and ever and ever, but that's why it is. Let me tell you what, the time frame is based on God's calendar events, not our time. Our time goes by like that. We got 23 hours a day. It's funny, I was looking at my tag on my truck the other day, and I just noticed my wife said, look at this. Said 23, 24/7. 23, she said, that's how you work. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you never stop. Amen. Time goes by quick. But in God's eyes, it's not like that. Amen. I'm glad of that. Once we get to heaven, there'll be probably no clocks, no nothing like that. We'll be worshiping God throughout all eternity. Praise God. Let me get going. And the Bible says, and He sent and signified it by His angel unto His servant John. John got it. He was going to send it to the seven churches. And we still have the word right here, right now, 2,000 years later, that we can understand what's going to happen during the tribulation and what John saw and what he went through. The Bible says, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ. There it is again. There's Jesus again. He bare the record. He bare the testimony of Jesus Christ. And of all things that he saw, everything that he was going to see, that God was going to show him, he's going to write in the book of Revelation, and every church will know about it, and we will know about it. I'm glad I know about what's going to happen. I'm glad I got saved one day. I'm glad I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Amen. But let me tell you what. He said, who bear record of the word of God. That's why he was being persecuted. You see, John was the beloved of Jesus. John was the only apostle at the cross when Jesus had died. John was always with Jesus. He put his head on Jesus' breast there and just, you know, kind of loved him and cared about him. He was one apostle that Jesus loved, and Jesus loved John very, very much. Well, let me tell you what. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy. You won't find that in any other scripture. But in the book of Revelation in chapter 1, verse number 3, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear. So y'all listening, y'all hearing what the man of God's going to preach, you're going to be blessed too. Because the book of Revelation, praise God, we know that it's a book that's going to happen in the end times after the rapture of the church. And we know that we're not going to be here through that. That ought to bless our souls. Amen. That ought to bless us that we know everything about what Jesus was saying. And said, and in the words of this prophecy, and those that keep those things which are written. Well, what's that mean? We're supposed to keep the Bible? Yeah, we better have the Bible in our hands. Don't just bring it to the house of God on Sunday or Sunday night or Wednesday night. Read it every day. He said, those that keep the words of this prophecy, that means those that obey the words, those that hear the words, those that obey the words, apply the words, and use those words in their heart. How come? So we can share with other people that need Jesus. So we can live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. He said, therefore, for the time is at hand. It's coming close, my friends. I believe the rapture could happen at any time. It's coming close. But John said it 2,000 years ago. Well, that's been 2 days. It's going to come shortly, I believe. The time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace. Well, let me tell you what. Those seven churches were going through a lot of tribulation. Those seven churches were going through a lot of trials and a lot of suffering and a lot of persecutions and a lot of problems. And John said, grace be unto you and peace. Who's the only one that can give us grace? It's the grace of Jesus Christ. God's riches at Christ's expense. I'll never forget that. I love that. Listen, thank God for His marvelous grace. Amen. The grace that can save our souls. The grace that can give us help. The grace that can give us eternal life. And not only grace, but peace. Jesus said, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. He's overcoming. He can give us peace. And that's what John was writing to the churches. And in Asia Minor, grace and peace be unto you, which is a good thing. Watch this. From Him, only Jesus can give us that, which is, and which was, and which is to come. Amen. He's the first, the last, the beginning, the end. Amen. He's everything. He's been here since the beginning of time, the beginning of creation. He's here right now in this future, in this present time. He will be in the future. We will see Jesus one day, praise God, which is, which was, and which is to come. Watch. And from the seven spirits which are before His throne. I believe the seven spirits is speaking of the Holy Spirit of God, the spirits that are completely filled. Seven speaks of perfection and completeness. The seven spirits which are before His throne. And from who? Jesus Christ. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. Watch. And the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us. Watch. From our sins in His own blood. John wrote that. John wrote it from Jesus Christ. You know, verse 5 talks about a prophet, a priest, and a king. Jesus is our prophet. He's our priest. And our king, I wrote this down. The prophet is a faithful witness. He came to the world to be a witness. He came to the world to give His life. He came to the world so the world will know who God Almighty is and who He is. He just didn't come to heal. He just didn't come to do this, to be a great teacher or to work miracles. He came to give His very life. He came as a prophet, amen, that we might have and might understand and know who Jesus Christ is. And He also came as a priest. He's the first begotten of the dead, amen, the priest. He's the leader of those believers who will one day rise again from the grave. He's the priest, and He's also a king because He's returning one day for the church. And my friends, He will rule and reign forever and ever and ever. I don't think there's any judges in here, but I tell you what, I'm looking for the real judge, Jesus, amen. I'm looking for the real king, amen. If there's any judge here, thank you. But I tell you, I've had some judges in my life that I didn't like that I had to go through. But when King Jesus comes, amen, it's going to be the best king, the best judge, the best prophet, the best priest that has ever happened, amen. Watch this. It said over there, the first begotten of the dead. He was the first fruits of the resurrection. You know, you realize there's only been, two people in the world since the beginning of time, Enoch and Elijah. They didn't have to die, did they? God Almighty took them right up to heaven. Oh, they didn't die. He took them up to heaven. Well, can I say this too? We might not have to die too. If the rapture happens real quick, we might not die. We can go right up to heaven. But we're not sure. But He said He's the first begotten of the dead, the first fruits of the dead. Now, let me say this. Jesus Christ, what did He do when He said, Lazarus, come forth? Lazarus came forth out of the grave with the napkin and all wrapped around him. He brought Lazarus from the dead. He brought the widow of Nain, her son, back from the dead. But let me tell you what, they weren't the second begotten because they were going to die again. Lazarus was going to die again. Jairus' daughter was going to die again. The widow's son of Nain was going to die again. But Jesus, when He arose, when He died on that grave and He arose, my friend, can I tell you this? He'll never die again. He said, behold, I am alive forevermore, praise God. And Christian, let me tell you this. Once we take our last breath, I can't handle this. Once we take our last breath, and we might go on to spend eternity with Jesus, we'll never die again. We won't have to worry about it, praise God. He's the first begotten of the dead, the prince and the kings of the earth unto Him that loved us. Who's that? Jesus Christ that loved us. That's agape love. Agape love. He died on the cross of Calvary and shed His precious blood so that we could have everlasting life. John 15:13 says, greater man has no love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's the love of Calvary. I read a little story and I really got upset about it because I love little animals. There was a missionary and he was somewhere. And there had been this gigantic fire going on. And as he had walked around the buildings and the place and the area, he's seen this big gigantic nest like, and he kind of took it and he kicked it. He thought he was just going to push it aside. And when he did, the mother hen was there. She was just dead, burned to death. But then when he kicked it again, all the little hens came out. All the little babies came out because she sat there and died for her little baby hens. That's called a creature love. Cared about them little babies. Cared about them. But let me tell you what, there's a better love than that. Hey, listen, it's called Calvary's love. When Jesus died on the cross, he died that we might have eternal life. He died that we might have everlasting life. That's Calvary's love, Jesus' love, his love for us, agape love, a love that we don't deserve, a love that we don't deserve a place called heaven, but because of the cross of Calvary and Christ and the blood and the resurrection and our belief, we can have a place called heaven one day. Said he loved us. Bible says, by his stripes ye are healed. Amen. Ye are healed. No other way. No other way. The Bible says over there, he washed us from our sins in his own blood. The Bible says in Hebrew, what? Without the shedding of blood is no remission. There's no forgiveness. There's no hope. You can live the best life you can live. You can do the best you can. Be the best husband, wife, best mother, father, grandfather, best whatever. But that's not going to get you to heaven. It's only by the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. No other way, by believing and putting our faith in him. The Bible says over there, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Did you read that? Unto God and his Father. God's got a Father. Doesn't that tell you that Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit are one? Triune God. I've never really studied that before. I've heard it preached a few times. I've read it a few times, but I never did. Just didn't click my mind until I started studying this. Unto God and his Father. That means Jesus and the Father. Amen? Jesus came down here. He was God manifest in the flesh. I don't understand everything about the Trinity. I know a lot of preachers, a lot of men of God can't, but they believe in the Word of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Bible says over there, listen, John 10:30, this is Jesus speaking, I and my Father are one. And then the other verse said, if you have known me, you would have known my Father because they're one. He said, God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let me tell you what, dominion in the Greek means power and strength. He's got all power. He's got all strength. He still has it all today. He's had it all from the very beginning. He'll have it all throughout all eternity. And he's got it still today. The Bible says in Philippians 2, 9 and 11, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. Speaking of Jesus. And given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Not just some, but every. Every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue, every knee, every tongue, everybody's going to, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He highly exalted him. He has all power, all strength. John is talking about, on these eight verses, all about Jesus, amen. That's what he's talking about. That's why we come to the house of God, so we can worship Jesus, the one that gives us eternal life. That's why we come and sing the hymns about Jesus, amen. That's why we see the cross, what he's done for us on Calvary. It's all about Jesus, amen. Every tongue should confess. The Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, that believe in the things that God had in thy heart, that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We must believe. We must confess. My friends, if you're not sure you're saved today, please do not walk out that door without knowing today that you have Jesus as your Savior. Read verse 1 again, which must shortly come to pass. Intimate, very quick. It could happen at any time. The Bible says over there, behold, he cometh with clouds. That's not speaking of the rapture. That's speaking of the second coming. He cometh with clouds. That's how he ascended back to the Father. Remember that over in Acts chapter 1. The Bible says, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, not anybody else, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come. That means he's coming back again. Shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So why should we believe? Why should we put our faith and trust in Jesus? Why should we understand that there's a real place called heaven and there's a real place called hell, the lake of fire, where unbelievers will spend an eternity if they're not saved before the rapture of the church or before they go home? Well, hey, listen, let me tell you what. Because he's coming again in the clouds. First, he's going to come with the trumpet, with the sound, we're going to go up. But after that, the second coming, watch. He said over there, and every eye shall see him. Every eye, John said, every eye shall see him. Now at the rapture, nobody's going to see Jesus. We're going to wonder where you at. Steve, how come you're not at work at 6:30 over at Amtrak? you didn't make it here. What's going on? They're going to probably try to call me. I don't know. Some people work with unbelievers, amen. And can I say this? Not to be smart, but I heard a preacher say this one time. I'll never forget it. There's still going to be people coming to church on Sunday night. There's still going to be people coming to church Wednesday night and Sunday morning because they didn't believe in Jesus. They never put their faith and trust in the Lord. Can I tell you, don't you come to church just to hear the man of God preach. Don't you come to church just to hear the song sung. Don't you come to church just to be a friend and a good friend around somebody else and enjoy the company. You come to church to worship the Savior. And that's exactly what John's talking about. The revelation of Jesus. It's all speaking about Jesus, praise God. Watch this. Every eye shall see him, and they will also have pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail. Those that are not saved, those that are not born again. You don't want to have to go through the great tribulation. The first 3.5 years are going to be pretty bad, but the last 3.5 years are going to be absolutely horrible. The worst thing that's ever happened in this world. You think of all the wars, everything went on. I still remember September 11, 2001. I was pretty young back then, amen. Well, not too young. Anyhow, I remember what happened. I remember watching it on TV at the shop. It was quarter after 9, and we've seen the big planes go into the Twin Towers, how they exploded and went down. It killed 3,000 some people. And then we seen another plane go in. I couldn't believe it. Some people thought it was the end of the world. Some people thought it was the end of time. Let me tell you what, that was what, 18 years ago. Hey, listen, Jesus is coming back. It was a horrible, horrible time. All the deaths we've had in wars, everything we've had, all the famines, all the sicknesses, all the diseases, it's not going to be anything compared to the tribulation. You better make sure you know Jesus. Bible says he's coming back shortly. He's coming back shortly. Every eye shall see him. How can that be? If he's coming from the clouds, I believe he's going to come down real slow and just kind of be turning around. We got internet now, don't we? Y'all, probably everybody's probably got a phone that's in here. Those that are not saved can see him on the phone. I bet you everybody in the world can see Jesus. The Bible says right here, Revelation, every eye, not some, every eye shall see him. And they're going to wail and weep. Those that rejected Jesus, those that have not put their faith and trust in him. He cometh in the clouds because of him. Even so, amen. He said, I am. There's the I am again. There's the self-existent one. There's the one before all creation. There's the one that's always been, always has been, always will. The Alpha and the Omega, the Greek letters of the alphabet. He's the very beginning. He's the very end of everything. Who's the one that had creation started? Jesus Christ. Who's the one that's going to come at the rapture of the church? Jesus Christ. Who's the one that came and gave his life on Calvary? The Lord Jesus Christ. Who's the one that cares about you? Who's the one that loves you? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Alpha, the Omega, the I am, the self-existent one, the one that cares about the souls of people. You know why sometimes I preach this about salvation? Y'all probably, I hope everybody in this building is saved. I hope there's not one soul that has never put their faith and trust in Jesus. And I believe you are, but I don't know. You know why, Jim? Because I went to church for many years. My pastor at Pastor Cunningham at State Line Baptist Church, when I went up to join the church back in 1993, I think it was, when I went up and shook his hand, first thing he asked me, are you saved? He didn't ask me. I said, I want to join the church. He said, are you saved? I told him a lie. I said, yeah, I am. I did. I sang in the choir. I became a trustee. I even did a few Sunday school classes. It was amazing. I didn't even know I could ever do that, Sunday school classes. I started to teach a little bit. Then I joined a group that sang. Then I finally got saved one day. You see, I went to church for many years. My mom and dad, they made me go to church after my mom passed away. And we started to go to church. And I didn't want to be there. I wanted to do things. And then my wife, when we got married and all, it was 1976, something like that. Wow. Whew. Still love her to death. Amen. Amen. Said, "Oh, it's time for you to go to church." Well, I had started my business in 77. I told her, I said, I can't go to church. I'm busy. You kind of know what that's like, don't you, Charles? You're always busy, nonstop, this and that. I didn't want to go. I went a few times. She thought I was saved. She thought I knew Jesus and all this stuff. But yet she was gone. She took the kids there. The kids got saved. She made sure she got saved. But I wasn't. I never really went. I went a few times here and there. I didn't listen. I didn't care. But you see, the problem is, if I'd have died before I was 40 years old, I got saved in 1997. If I'd have died, I'd have been in a place called hell today. And there would have been no second chance for me. So I'm telling you, the reason I'm preaching the Word of God is there's people that come to the house of God. There's people that hear the Word of God. There's people that's been members of this church for years. There's people that read the Bible. There's people that pray. There's people that'll come up and sing. But you might not be saved. And you better be sure you're saved and on your way to heaven, because He's coming back shortly. John said, anytime this could happen. The Bible says, "I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, which saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." The Almighty. Let me share just a few thoughts and we'll be done. I'll be out of here in a few minutes. Number one, who He is, what He was, what He is, and what He's going to be. Number one, the revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ. He's a faithful witness to the world. Could you imagine if the Lord and Savior, if Jesus hadn't left all heaven's splendor and didn't come down to the sin-filled earth? Could you imagine and didn't die on Calvary and didn't rise again? We'd have no hope. We might as well just stay home. We might as well not have the Word of God. We might as well not read. We wouldn't know anything about Jesus. But oh, His revelation, He was a faithful witness to the world. The revealer of God. God manifested, the revealer of God, the Father. He showed the world the character of God. The perfectness of God. You know, Jesus never sinned. He never had a thought of sin. Never sinned. By the way, if He did, He could not have been our Savior, because His blood was precious. The precious blood. Amen. His sinless life and His words and His works and His miracles. Number two was resurrection. His resurrection. When Jesus died on the cross, they put Him in that tomb, that borrowed tomb. Joseph of Arimathea, that borrowed tomb. He was the firstborn from the dead. He has done what no one else in this world could ever do. And because of that, we too will rise one day from the grave. We too will live eternity. Without the resurrection of Christ, again, as without the revelation, there would be no hope. If Jesus Christ had not, if He had not died, if He had not rose again, there would be no hope. If He was still in the grave, there would be no hope. He was the firstborn of the dead. He came back from the dead. He's alive forevermore. Praise God for the revelation. Praise God for the resurrection of the church. And number three, His rule. His rule. Had the revelation, the resurrection, and His rule. The Bible doesn't say He will be. It says He is. He's in complete rule now of the universe. How do you think the stars, the sun, the moon, the sky? I got up this morning about 3:30 and I looked outside. What a beautiful moon there was. I couldn't believe how beautiful it was. It was so big. And I thought, boy, I wish God had this moonshine every night like this. I could look outside and see everything going on. There's some nights when I got to come home from work and it's so dark I can hardly see. Hey, man, got to put my number two glasses on, put my high beams on. Hey, listen, when that moon come out, that's the God Almighty did that. Amen. His rule, His reign. Let me tell you what, He rules everything. That's why the sun, the moon, the stars, everything are all the same, doing everything. He's got rule over the entire world. He's got reign over it, praise God. Amen. And He cares about the souls of lost people. He cares. When He comes the second time, there's going to be absolute rule. Let me tell you what, right now there's Satan, the prince, and the power of the air. He's got a lot of rule. But can I tell you, He's on a leash. God's got him under control. There's nothing Satan can do to you. Nothing whatsoever without God knowing first and without God allowing anything to happen. And just what happened to John, the book of Revelation was written. It's wonderful to know that we got the book of Revelation and the Word of God, so we know what the future holds, what it holds. His redemption. Number four, His redemption. John identifies Jesus as Him who loved us. His redemption. He set us free from our sins by His precious blood. We are what? Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. Listen, what can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Nothing at all. Nothing but the blood. God has redeemed us, set us free, gave us hope, those that believe in Him, redeemed by the blood. And lastly, His reign. He will rule and reign throughout all eternity. And we will reign with Him. The Bible says in Revelation 26, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. That'll be us. First resurrection, the church. The church. Blessed, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power. No power, those that are not believed, those that are unbelievers. But they that shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. This is just the first 8 verses of Revelation. He is the I Am. He is the Alpha, the Omega. Everything that John wrote about was what? About Jesus Christ. And verses 9 through 20 is all about how he's seen Jesus in his glorified body. John seen him when he was on earth. John was with him. He's seen his eyes. He's seen his hair. He's seen his feet. He's seen everything about Jesus. Oh, but when he's seen him in the second part of chapter 1, the Bible says he fell at his feet as dead. He couldn't believe what he saw. But he's all speaking about Jesus. My friends, that's why this church was built whenever it was built. It's not about it's a beautiful church right on the corner. I love it. It's awesome looking. Beautiful inside here, beautiful seats, everything, wonderful people. But it's not about that. It's about worshiping Jesus. It's about knowing that He's your Savior. That's what John's talking about here, the revelation, the unveiling of Jesus Christ, the end of time. There's going to be a lot of terrible, terrible things going on after the rapture of the church in 7 years. It's not going to be good. You do not want to be here. It's going to be the worst thing that if you're not saved that you'd ever heard and ever seen and ever believed. You will not believe how bad it's going to be. Read it and you'll see. But if you're saved, it's going to be wonderful. Because you're going to go up with Jesus after rapture and you come back with him to rule and reign for 1,000 years. Do you believe? Do you believe what John wrote in the first 8 verses of the book of Revelation? Do you believe the unveiling of Jesus Christ? How good he's been to us. We can read about Jesus through all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, a lot in Acts. We can all read about it. But think about Revelation, how it speaks of Jesus, how he loved us and cared about us. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Can we get a song to get ready to be sung?